Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Tuesday, February 20th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Your second daily dose of happy for the day, and I have to say I'm kind of happy. I'm happy for a number of reasons, not the least of which, Wendy, we have surpassed 24,000 plays today.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
It seems like I'm saying it every day. It's not quite, but it's almost there. It's getting closer.
Cool.
And 25,000 is just around the corner, so that's going to be a big milestone right there. The other thing that's cool is I've been spending time editing the stories, and the stories are really good. I mean, I've been saying that all along, I know, but the stories are really good. They're good stories. They were well written. They're going to be totally worth acquiring the book when it's done, and that book is going to be done pretty soon. It's going to be within the next few weeks.
Well, you are such a tease.
I know, but... thing is, if something's good, you got to let people know about it, don't you think?
This is true. And we do want to build some excitement, you know, and anticipation for, you know, such an awesome product that you're creating.
Well, not just me. I mean, I've got some 40-odd authors helping me do this. This isn't just me, and you're one of them, by the way.
No. I'm three of them, actually.
You are? Actually, you are. You're three of them. I mean, some of the authors here are prolific. You have three. There's another one who has four. Like, oh my goodness. What'd you guys do? You went off on a writing spree or something.
When you told me there was a person with four, I'm like, oh, I got to at least tie it. And then, you know, it just didn't happen. I went, I'm going to let it go.
Got to tie it. Yeah, it's a contest.
A little bit of competition in me had me.
Whoever has the most stories wins.
Yes.
Oh, good grief. That's funny. But anyway, we are continuing our exploration of the law of attraction, the basics of the teachings of Abraham. And we had a really good session yesterday. We were talking about the creative workshop concept that they like to teach. Mm-hmm. And you, in fact, were telling some really good stories about your own version of creative workshop, which was really, you know, very, very helpful, I'm sure, to listeners. I know it was interesting to me. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, I didn't really ask you, did you have any wins that you wanted to talk about today? Anything really good happening? Anything exciting going on?
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, it's not a big, huge thing, but it's still fun to talk about because it's still a way that I see how law of attraction moves on my behalf on a regular basis.
Mm.
I had purchased a new clothes dryer over the weekend.
Oh.
And it was supposed to get delivered today, which... I was like, okay, today's my day, the first day I go back to work, and so I know I'm going to be really, really busy.
Mm.
And then, of course, I know I have to take a break for the show.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, ooh, I hope we can squeeze it in at a good time. But, of course, you know, they can't tell me when. They just say they'll call me before they come out.
Oh, right, yeah.
So then there was some concern because it was supposed to be downpour rain in this area.
No.
And I thought, I don't want it to rain all over my new dryer.
No, of course not.
So while I was, like, waking up in the middle of the night because of the downpour and the thunder, the lightning and whatever, it was reminding me of, you know, my dryer coming today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of felt into it. There's a new word that I haven't used before, but I kind of felt into, you know, like, will the rain be at all a problem with the timing of the dryer delivery? And I got, nope, it's all good. So I was like, oh, yay. So when I woke up, it's like the sun was kind of trying to break through, and I'm like, okay, well, that's good. And I thought, well, I do have one call on my schedule where I had to be in a meeting where I had to be a participant, and it was going to be for an hour. And I looked at it, and I thought, nope, the dryer won't come during that time. I just had a knowing. Like, law of attraction is working out all the timing synchronicities on my behalf. I don't have to, like, call the dryer people and say, hey, make sure you deliver it during this time or this time. It's like, nope, law of attraction is going to handle it all. And I felt such a sense of peace about it'll be when it's going to be, and it'll all be fine, and I won't be, like, racing to come to the show because they're just walking out the door. And so anyway, you know, I get to work, and I'm doing my emails, and let me tell you, 400 emails in my inbox. It's a lot.
Oof.
To go through.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, let's see what I can handle. And I was just like, I'm going to take it as it comes. You know what? The whole world knows I was out for a week.
Sure.
And so when you're out for a week, nobody expects you to be up to par on everything the moment you walk in the door. So I was just kind of taking the liberty of just kind of plugging through them as I needed to. Well, then the irony is that this call that I said I had to be on, it was at 10 o'clock my time. And so I like raced to get my protein shake in and made so I could take it to my meeting. Mm-hmm. And so I get to the 10 o'clock meeting and somehow the link to the thing isn't working. And I'm like, what's up? What's mm-hmm. up? Well, I realized my call wasn't until 11 o'clock.
Oh.
And that's why the link didn't work, because it wasn't time yet.
That's right.
And so I just kind of laughed. I went, oh no, this could be more problematic, because now for whatever reason, I had it in my head, my meeting's from 10 to 11, and so the dryer people can come after 11.
Mm.
That's what I had in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what's so funny. 10:15, the doorbell rings. And I go down to the door, and here are the people with my dryer. And they
nice.
Said, hi, you're Wendy Dillard? And I said, yes. And I said, I thought I was supposed to get a call beforehand. And he said, well, we tried to call, but that must have been the wrong number. And I looked at it, and yes, it was an old, old, old number of mine, like from probably 18 years ago. And I just said, okay, not a problem. Come on in. So they were here from like 10:15 to 10:40. And then I did a few little things to take care of the laundry room. And so I was done by 10:45.
Nice.
And I was able to do my 11 o'clock call. And I just find that I wasn't freaked out at all, but I'm just sharing it because that's the kind of synchronicity of timing that I just adore. And I'd love to acknowledge it, because I know when I acknowledge it, I get more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's a really good one, too.
So it all just kind of moved smoothly. And, you know, even though I didn't know what time they were coming, I didn't even remember my calendar timing correctly. But the law of the land totally knew.
Mm-hmm.
Totally had my dryer delivered when I was available, when it was convenient for me, to which I say, thank you, Law of Attraction. I really appreciate it.
Very nice. Yeah, that's good. Actually, as you were telling that story, I realized I have a story to tell, too, that I hadn't thought about. Earlier today, I was on Facebook and in that Law of Attraction group that we've talked about. And in that group, someone had posted a message, something to the effect of, can you use the Law of Attraction to attract better hearing? And they'd start to get some responses from people, people encouraging them and so on and so forth. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to post something. And I said something like, I don't remember exactly the wording, but something like, well, I'm trying to attract macular regeneration in my left eye because I've had problems with my left eye and I want to try to get my sight back there. And a guy wrote back saying, oh, wow, what kind of progress have you had? I said, well, no, nothing really to report, but I keep focusing on better eyesight, focusing on how great it is to have good eyesight. I'm so grateful that my right eye works really well. I can see clearly, you know, so that part's great. And I just keep trying to feel good about how exciting it's going to be, you know, on the amazing day when my macula regenerates in my left eye, which doctors say you can't do. But, hey, Law of Attraction doesn't know what a doctor knows, you know. So. And I'm voting for Law of Attraction instead of the doctor anyway. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay positive and feel good about it. And so we bantered a couple times about that. Now, at the time that I was doing this exchange with him, I was in the barbershop. Time to get my hair cut. And as we're sitting there in the barbershop, I finished my little exchange with him, and I'm thinking, okay, what do I want to do? Because I'm still waiting. There's one guy ahead of me to get a haircut, another guy in the chair. And so I'm thinking about it, and all of a sudden the door opens, and this really old guy stumbles into the room and says in a really loud voice, is there anyone here? And we all look at him like, what? We all finally realized the guy was blind.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, wow, if that isn't Law of Attraction, I don't know what is.
That's totally Law of Attraction.
And from that point on, I was just so even more grateful for the fact I can see in my right eye. I love that. Mm. I mean, I can see color. And there's so much to appreciate. I can see nature. I can see the light. I can see my cats. I can see my wife. I can see the cars. I can see everything. And I keep holding out and believing that my left eye is going to improve and I'll be able to see out of my left eye and get my depth perception back. That'll be even greater. That'll be fantastic. But hey, I can see. Mm-hmm. I am so grateful for that.
Wow. And you know, you went to a really wonderful place of being grateful. I went to a place that was just kind of more evidentiary.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I said that right. Normally I go for that word and it's not available to me. It's like, whoa, there it is. So what I loved was you were focusing on vision and sightedness, and something came into your awareness, like in the same day, within a couple hours.
Within minutes.
That, yeah, oh, wow, I didn't
within
know that.
Minutes,
was,
yeah.
Was a match to the thoughts about sightedness.
Mm.
I think that's so cool, because, you know, I love evidence, and I'm always looking for evidence of how the law of attraction works. And that, to me, is just such a beautiful piece of evidence that you had a thought, you had no resistance to it, because you were just sharing your experience, and boom, it popped up. Something of a like kind, having to do with vision, was made available to you.
Yeah.
I think that's very cool.
And it was made available to me in a way that very clearly gave me the opportunity to say, no, I don't want that. That's not interesting mm-hmm. to me. I want to have nothing to do with that. I want sightedness. I love sightedness. That's what I get excited about.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are times where what we study here with the law of attraction it is funny. There are times when it's just plain fun. There are times where it's intriguing. And then there are times like this where it just kind of stops you and say, whoa, I have a lot to be grateful for.
That's quite nice. Yes. Quite nice.
So, moving on to the law of attraction, the basics of the teachings of Abraham, we're up to the subsection entitled, Are Not All Laws Universal Laws? So I'll read from it. It says, Jerry speaking first, Abraham, you spoke to us of three major universal laws. Are there some laws that are not universal? And Abraham replies, there are many that you may call laws. We reserve our definition of law for those things that are universal. In other words, as you enter into this physical dimension, you have the agreement of time, the agreement of gravity, and the agreement of this perception of space. But those agreements are not universal, for there are other dimensions that do not share those experiences. In many cases where you may use the word law, we would use the word agreement instead. There are no other universal laws that we are waiting to divulge to you later. That takes a little getting used to. The law of gravity isn't a law, but the law of attraction is. Like, okay.
So I guess they're saying that the law of gravity governs, like, our earthly geography, but the law of attraction governs all universe.
All geographies.
I mean, that's why they would call it, yeah, I mean, they call it a universal law, so everything within this universe, it governs.
And it's a little confusing in that sense, because they say as you enter into this physical dimension, you have the agreement of time, of gravity, and of this perception of space. This physical dimension, those are the key words there. So what they're really suggesting is the law of gravity is true within this dimension, whatever that means, but there are other dimensions, whatever that means, that don't share that same experience.
Well, I do know that I've heard Abraham talk about law of attraction, even in non-physical. So it's a universal law that wherever Abraham and all of the consciousnesses are that make up Abraham are part of this universe, and law of attraction governs their existence as well.
So you're suggesting
but they don't work with time or gravity because they're not physical.
So you're suggesting that in non-physical areas, gravity and time and space and so forth are not applicable.
Right.
That could be. But it also raises another interesting question. What are some of the other dimensions that we explore?
Because that, to me, has always been the biggest question.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer either. I'm not even sure how to begin answering it. I do know that if we are eternal beings, and I believe now that we are, not only have we always been, but we always will be, as long as that's the case, then chances are we've done a lot of living in a lot of different ways and probably in a lot of different dimensions.
Well, I will say that the Seth, S-E-T-H, the Seth books do address other dimensions in ways that Abraham does not. So if anybody is interested in learning about other dimensions that we might play in, That might be one resource, which is to look into books. They're called the Seth books, and a woman named Jane Roberts is the person that received the information from Seth in a similar fashion to how Abraham is received by Esther Hicks.
Right. Yeah. And indeed, it was Seth that Esther and Jerry were looking into just before she herself learned that she was a receiver.
Actually, I thought it was from someone named Theo.
Well, Theo came afterward, yeah. They were actually trying to meet Jane to get a session with Seth.
Oh, they were trying to find Seth, but Jane had already passed.
And they thought she had passed on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're
yep.
right.
Very interesting stuff. So, okay, so as I said here, getting used to the idea that the law of gravity is not universal. Okay.
No, honestly, before you read that, which I know today's not the first day you read that, but before you read that, did that seem surprising to you?
Yes. It surprises me every time I look at it. I mean, okay. It's a lot less surprising now than it was the first time, for sure. The first time, it was like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on here. Now it's like, it's a minor shock, comparatively speaking. But it's enough of a shock to mention each time. There's an awful lot that people who are scientists believe they know, and they do know quite a bit, but I'm always struck by how much they don't know and how much we don't know. I mean, you and I talked about this yesterday, about how even with what we know about the law of attraction and about what Abraham has taught us and what other teachers have taught us, I still get a really, really strong feeling that we only have a tiny sliver of mm-hmm. what's to be known. You agree?
I agree. Oh, yeah. So what about, and I don't know the science behind this, but I just have very elementary understanding. But it's like astronauts who travel beyond this Earth, you know, they go to Mars, or they haven't been to Mars yet, but they've gone to the moon, and, you know, they've walked out in space. You know, they have to have gravity suits to combat the fact that there is no gravity in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for me, like when you said this was surprising to you, I guess I immediately thought about astronauts and how in space there's no gravity.
Well, there is actually. There actually is gravity in space, but it's so minimal that the human body doesn't detect it.
Oh. Because I thought the whole concept of gravity had to do with the, quote, gravitational pull of the center of the Earth drawing you towards it. And that's why we have gravity here on Earth, because of the magnetic quality of the insides of the Earth.
I don't claim to be an expert on it, so I will only tell you what I know. What I know is that all masses attract, which, by the way, fuels the idea of the law of attraction. But that's what gravity is. Gravity is the attraction between masses, one mass attracted to another. And the more proximate, the closer that the masses are to each other, the more proximate they are, then the greater the level of attraction there is. Now, is that magnetic? I don't know. Is it due to the core of the Earth? I don't know. I can't rule them out. I mean, they certainly seem reasonable to me, but I just don't know enough about it to say that. All I know for sure is that it's about attraction of masses.
See, this is where having our listeners be available to call in would be really great, because I'm sure there's somebody that's much more scientifically knowledgeable than you and I, and I would love for them to, like, jump on a call and go, well, let me tell you what
that
I know.
That would be fun. Yeah,
it would, like, round out our conversation beautifully.
Well, we're just proving that we are not experts on all of this. We're just as much students as anybody else. We've studied quite a bit. We've learned quite a bit, but we don't have all the answers, not even close, which is a good thing, really. Actually, the people who have all the answers are the boring ones.
Or we could say they're non-physical.
They're non-physical. Oh, okay. Well, I guess they're not all that boring then.
Okay. What else does Abraham have to say?
Well, we have the next section. It's entitled, How Do I Best Utilize the Law of Attraction? And I have to admit, that seems like a really strange question to me, because I would think that the first thing that would happen in anybody's mind as soon as they hear what the Law of Attraction is would be all the different ways they could use the law of attraction. But okay, we'll do it. We'll just deal with the section anyway. Jerry asks, okay. Are there many different ways that we can consciously or deliberately use this law of attraction? And Abraham says, we will begin by saying that you are always utilizing it, whether you know that you are or not. I'm going to stop right there because that is a very key point. That's a point that I think most people into the law of attraction don't appreciate fully. And it's one that I constantly try to remind myself of, that everything going on is based on LOA.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I love the thought, you don't have to believe in it for it to work.
That's right.
Because it's always working.
In fact, it says you cannot stop using it, for it is inherent in everything that you do. But we appreciate your question, for you want to understand how to deliberately use it for the achievement of that which you intentionally desire. Being aware of the law of attraction exists. Being aware that the law of attraction exists, let's get the right word in there, is the most important part of utilizing it deliberately. Since the law of attraction is always responding to your thoughts, a deliberate focusing of your thought is important. Choose subjects that are of interest to you and think about them in a way that benefits you. In other words, look for the positive aspects of the subjects that are important to you. As you choose a thought, the law of attraction will act upon it, attracting more thoughts like it, thus making that thought more powerful. And they say that so casually, and that's like a really key sequence there.
I like how you said that. They say that so casually.
They do. It's
like,
just
it's
so
not
casual.
A big deal.
but I mean, you've made me appreciate just how important each one of those concepts are, that they lay out sentence by sentence there. I mean, choosing the subject that's
interesting. And I am totally in agreement with you. And I think sometimes even when I'm listening to Abraham CDs or when anybody is listening to a YouTube, you know, of Abraham, you know, Abraham just talks like it's all like da 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 da.
Yeah, right.
It's just what is. And sometimes, and you know, you've mentioned how I listen to a CD three times before moving on to the next. Well, the part of the reason is exactly this point. Not that they're nonchalant about it, but they are, each concept to me is so power packed, and they run one concept after another, and I need to like break it apart and like take each sentence sometimes at a time to understand it, or take a whole paragraph at a time, you know, or like do that, think about it, and then come back and listen to it again. And I've even been known to like turn my voice recorder on my cell phone while I'm playing, you know, Abraham in the car, so that I can just take a snippet. It might be a 15-second clip, and I replay it for myself over and over and over and over. And sometimes still I don't have it, so I'll bring it home, and I'll type it out. And there's something about doing it through each one of these different modalities that helps integrate it. And then after I've typed it out, I say it over and over and over. And sometimes it takes that much effort on my part, or that much trying to experience it through different modalities for me to like let one idea sink in.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
They are that power packed. They got a lot to say and they just like say it and move on. And I'm like, stop. We need like an hour break just to unpack these three sentences.
And that sounds so weird to say that because we are so used to the idea of conversation being, well, conversational. You just put out some stuff to get a thought out. When what they're doing is they're putting out a bunch of stuff that sounds like it's just a very casual conversation, but every single little thing that they say has some tremendous impact and some impulse behind it that you really need to understand in order to understand what the whole paragraph is about. I mean, it's
well,
just,
have you,
it's
have,
that dense.
Have you ever heard them when they're on a YouTube where they say, like, they'll do the introduction, and I'll just mention this for anybody who's never attended a workshop. Abraham usually starts with about a 20 to 30 minute introduction, and the idea and the purpose behind it is to take all the participants in the room that are at very different levels of their vibration, and what they share kind of helps to spin everybody into a similar place. You could say, so we're all on the same page. And then they'll take the rest of the time to, you know, engage in different people's questions. Well, okay, I just lost my own train of thought.
I've done
it. I was rolling up to, and the thing that happens.
Well, you're talking about what happens at the beginning of every workshop, and we're tying it into this idea of all the stuff that they say being so densely packed with information.
Oh, thank you. So So oftentimes when they're doing their introduction, they have a great sense of humor, and they might start with a sentence or a paragraph, and then the next thing they'll say is, and really, that's all you need to know. We can all go home now.
Yeah, right.
Because they'll say one or two things, and in their mind, they have just unpacked the entirety of the law of attraction, and if you just simply understand these things we've said, you know everything we know. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And then it's ironic because then they go on for hours. And then, you know, people like me listen to this stuff over and over and over, and they do this weekend after weekend after weekend. So there's kind of a bizarre juxtaposition between here's this handful of things we've just shared with you, and we're telling you, you now know everything we know. And then this huge body of work that's been going on for 30 years now, where they keep, you know, like, getting more into the detail, more into the detail, and they keep refining and refining and refining what they're saying. And I believe there's truth to both sides, that because there's something different when they talk about it in a more refined way, and yet they can say it in a couple sentences, and it's everything. But I just think, you know, we as human beings, we don't always adjust so well to, okay, here are these sentences. Mull them over, focus on them, figure out what it means, and figure out how to apply it to your life.
It's not terribly surprising either.
If we, you know what, Walt, if we could do that, there would never be multiple workshops.
Well, that's true.
There'd be like one, I don't know if I'm using the word right, one meme that would be posted on Facebook, and we're done.
That's it, yep. Welcome to your life. Sign up here.
Yeah.
That's the nature, though, of something that is so simple. Because, I mean, it's very true. I saw a review of the book Ask and It Is Given before I bought the book. And in that review, it was somebody who gave it a one-star review. He wasn't happy with it at all. He said, I'm going to save you the purchase price of it. Your thoughts become things. You're welcome. That was it.
And you know what? That's true.
It is true.
Your thoughts become things. That's it in a nutshell.
It was quite a diss when you think about it, because it was perfectly accurate, and it completely missed the point that human beings have a tremendously difficult time applying a very simple concept.
You know, now, I hope for him, he is so exquisite at his ability to apply how thoughts become things that he has no issue in his life, and maybe he's a master, and he's out teaching this. Who knows?
Personally, I doubt it because he gave it one star instead of five stars. I could be wrong.
So then isn't the next question, well, if it all comes down to thoughts become things, then don't you want to ask them? And so how have you figured out how to apply that incredible gem, you know, coming from the God of the universe, and do you know how to use it? And have you become the person who could manifest everything and anything?
It's like the beginning of a talk that they gave at one of the workshops that was included with, which book was it? I think it was with Money and the Law of Attraction. It was like an add-on gift kind of a thing, just one of the workshops. And in this talk, they began the talk by saying, and I hope I don't butcher this, but it's something like, their usual introduction, and I don't remember what the phrasing of the introduction is, but it's we are so glad to be here to be co-creating. Don't you agree? That kind of thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, do you have what you are wanting? And you could tell from, it's just an audio recording, but you can tell that many members of the audience are nodding yes or raising their hand or whatever. And Abraham replies, uh-huh. There's laughter. Well, maybe we should ask the question a different way. And I'm not sure I'm going to get this one right either, but I'll try. Are you finding that everything you are requesting, you are receiving? And there's more shuffling and more yes. And you can just sense people are saying yes.
Yeah, some grimacing.
And Abraham says, uh-huh. And then Abraham says, well, don't worry. It was actually a trick question. Because in fact, the test for knowing whether or not that you are having what you're wanting is if you already have it. So the real question is, does the guy already have it? Does he have everything he's asked for?
Well, and you know, at the beginning of most of the workshops, Abraham does kind of say the same things, and I'm not going to try to speak their words, but the essence that I get from it is, like, are you enjoying, you know, this life that you're in? Do you love knowing that, you know, law of attraction abounds? Do you love knowing that you can be a deliberate creator, you know? And it's like they're kind of the questions are primed for you to go, yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the more questions they ask, it's like the more real they're asking the questions, which is, well, are you enjoying the process of knowing that you have to do the work?
Yeah.
You know, they don't say it that way, but that's what it comes down to. And it's like,
And all the doubt starts to creep up to the surface. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then it gets down to pay dirt, which is, yeah, I believe it's possible, but how do I get the money into the bank?
Right.
I know it's possible, but I don't know how to do it.
It's just an excellent example of how something so simple can be so incredibly complex. Ugh, it's just amazing.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the critics will tell you, well, it's all a bunch of rubbish anyway. And then they keep attracting all this rubbish into their lives. I'm sorry. I'm just being a little bit silly.
That's okay. I'm going to bring this up here. offline yesterday, you and I were talking, like we always do, we spin all sorts of new ideas, both that come into the show the next day as well as just for us, period.
Right.
But I was talking about how this show in particular is really giving me a place to kind of test my wings in terms of my comfort level of saying what I truly believe. In a way that I don't know who's really listening to me. You know, people who are very close to me, that I already have a preconceived idea that they would frown upon what I'm talking about. You know, they're the ones I have in the back of my head. They're the peanut gallery, if you will, that I kind of grimace going, oh, gosh, I'm glad I'm not seeing them because I don't want to look at their expression of disdain or whatever it may be. But, you know, the reason I'm sharing it is because, you know, what I put out into the airwaves publicly is, it's profound for me, especially if I feel like I'm taking a risk to do so, and I kind of feel like I am. But, you know, I told you yesterday, Walt, that what I really desire in my life is to have such a level of transparency that I can share from the rooftops what I truly believe in. And not really care, not in an ugly way, but just not take it personally when somebody disagrees with me, even if they're someone I'm very close to, even if it's my family. Because I want to live such an authentic life where I am doing and being saying everywhere I go. I don't want to hide who I am, you know, and it's really ironic because when I was a Christian, I kind of felt like sometimes I had to hide that too, because I could always, I felt like I could sense when there were certain people in the room that might not be in agreement. And so I just didn't want to bring up anything that was going to ruffle feathers. And, you know, at the same time, I was also taught to preach what I knew to the outermost levels of the earth, that was a mandate when you're a Christian to preach the gospel. And that was something I kind of always had a hard time with. Not because I didn't believe what I believed, because I did. But I just don't feel like you should say everything to everybody just because.
Sure.
And yet, you know, here I am not a Christian anymore. But I absolutely believe in the law of attraction. And it is so real. It's more real to me than Christianity ever was. I live it. I breathe it. It's a part of every cell of my being. I see more evidence of it than I ever saw evidence within Christianity. And it doesn't mean Christianity is wrong because I love my friends and family who are still Christians. I just understand the world through the filters of the law of attraction better than I understood it through the filters of Christianity. Because I think there's an awful lot that is similar. We just use different terminology. And law of attraction terminology was something I really could get. I understood it. It made sense to me. So anyway, this is all about I want to be an authentic being. And I read a definition recently that said authenticity equals you walk your talk. And you are the same person wherever you are, mm-hmm. regardless of who you're with.
Sure.
And I went, ooh, I like that definition.
Yeah.
I totally like that definition. So anyway, that was a little sidetrack, but it came up for me and I wanted to just kind of like throw it out there.
No, that's fine. In fact, actually, I wanted to add something to it because I have similar feelings. I'm not sure if they're 100% perfectly the same, but they're close enough. For me, it isn't so much, I mean, you talk about how Christians have this mandate to go out and preach the gospel. I don't feel like I have a mandate to preach the law of attraction. Far from it, actually. I really don't want to preach the law of attraction, particularly to those who don't want to hear it. That's really the last thing I want to do. I very much resonate with what Jerry and Esther have said numerous times in the beginnings of their various recordings, where they say this information is being made available for those who are ready to receive it. And that's the way I look at it. For people who are ready to receive LOA Today, for instance, they're the ones who are listening. I don't need to shove LOA Today down the throats of people who aren't ready for it. That's just not right for me. But by the same token, I also want to, like you say, I want to be the authentic me. So I am going to walk the walk that I'm talking. I want to live LOA in every way. I want to live the teachings of Abraham in every way, because I really do believe that's the best way for me to have my optimal life. I don't need other people's approval. I don't need to get everybody else convinced to do the same thing as me. I just need to go live it. That's the way I look at it.
And, you know, I think one time you and I were talking about how, like, I think we were talking about it in the context of Facebook, that if you put something out there on Facebook, only those that match you are going to even see what's on Facebook.
Yeah,
don't worry about
Facebook.
Putting yourself out there. Well, I've kind of thought up the flip side, which is, and it came from an idea we talked about the other day, which is if there's somebody who wants to be antagonistic because they live for antagonism, they might see a post that somebody with a pure heart of, you know, I just want to share something that has worked for me using law of attraction, and they can find incredible disdain in it. They can find reasons to, like, throw horrible rocks, you know, metaphorically, somebody who's just sharing their thoughts about law of attraction working for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they can find something that they're in disagreement with, that actually would match them if they're a disagreeable kind of person.
I love the adjective.
And so,
a disagreeable kind of person. I like that.
Well, and from that perspective, I'm thinking, I know some people in my life who they love to kick puppies when they're down. They like to be difficult because that's just that turns them on.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can make fun of somebody who's having a tender moment or scorn somebody who's just sharing themselves in a vulnerable way, the person who's vulnerable, you know, might get their feelings hurt. And I guess I'm trying to say, I'm one of those. And I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to be somebody who gets my feelings hurt because somebody doesn't like what I have to say. Because I know that even though I've learned a lot about law of attraction, I'm still aware, and because of law of attraction, I have the awareness, there's still something within me that still wants to people please just enough that it causes me to actually minimize what I think is really important to me because I just don't want to deal with somebody being disagreeable.
Mm. Yep, I hear you.
Really goes against who I am, and at the same time, it's also who I am.
Well,
and it's who
sense.
I am right now, but, you know, hey, I'll clear that.
I think we've both been on both sides. I think all of us have been on both sides of that divide, if you will. On the one hand, being the victim, and on the other hand, being the perp. And we've both done them. And we've all done them. You know, it's just part of being a human being. What really matters isn't so much what we did in the past, though. What matters is how do we want to live from now on. And, you know, you've decided, quite accurately, I think, that you don't want to be a victim anymore. And, by the way, I used to be one of those antagonists. I still am to a certain extent. I have once in a while like to stir up a hornet's nest just for the fun of it. But Most of the time I don't anymore. I do. I have to honestly say it. I do. I especially like doing it, and it's becoming less and less interesting, so I think I may start, you know, weaning myself off of it. But I especially like doing it with people who come into that Law of Attraction group I was telling you about on Facebook. In fact, you're a member of it now. Every once in a while, you'll get somebody on there who will post something that just sets my teeth on edge. Like, no, I know that's wrong. I know that's crazy. And I know there are going to be people who will take it and basically adopt something that's just going to lead them astray. So I'll say something just to kind of tease the person a little bit. Not tease them for the purpose of making them feel bad, but tease them to make them rethink it. You know, to say, well, you know, think about it this way. And then I'll get the pushback, and I'll say, no, 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 I mean, like, think about it this way. And I'll get the pushback, and I'll say, no, 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 I mean, like, I'll just keep doing that a few times. And that's about the extent of it now. It used to be, years ago, oh, God, I'd go to war over it. I don't go to war over it anymore.
Well,
but I still do it.
Well, I'm thinking of a Facebook post that you and I had both actually made a comment on. And I don't remember the specifics, but I do remember the feeling I had when I was, you know, reading different people's posts. And first of all, this is not like a Abraham Hicks sanctioned, you know,
no,
Law of Attraction Facebook group. It's a well-meaning individual who, you know, says Law of Attraction changed my life.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, and they share really kind things. And the purpose is to be kind with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But being a master of Law of Attraction, one of the things I recognize is that when other people are sharing their wisdom, and they're sharing it from the perspective of, well, here's a strategy you can use. Like, why don't you try doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Or why don't you try doing this? Anytime to me someone suggests a doing, I put that in the bucket of it's a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I would say that there are definite times and places when strategies are really helpful.
They are.
But I really also believe that what's underneath it is a vibration.
Exactly.
And if you don't address the vibration, but you try to address the behavior, it's really just putting a Band-Aid on a situation, because maybe the strategy will help in this situation, but you're going to take you with you, and you're going to take your same vibration with you somewhere else into another situation, and now you've got to come up with something else for that one, because it's not, in other words, it continues to recreate itself. And so I almost always will approach somebody, if I feel like they're open to receive it, from a here's how you get to the vibrational cause. Let's work on that piece. Because if you can work on that and you change your vibration completely, those circumstances no longer can come into your sphere of environment, because it won't match you.
Oh, I agree.
And
completely.
I like to lead people toward changing what they're matching.
Yeah.
Because that to me is so much more profound than changing someone's behavior.
Oh, I agree. So. Yeah, because you can't change somebody else's behavior. Let's be perfectly honest. Nobody can change that person's behavior except for themselves. Otherwise,
I'm talking about people are saying, well, change my own behavior and hopefully that will cause the other person to no longer have their stuff bother you so much.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so I didn't see in there that people were trying to change the other person. It was trying to change their own behaviors. And I just know from years worth of experience, going down that road is pretty ineffectual in the overall scheme of things.
Yeah.
It might be effective once, maybe twice.
If you're lucky.
But, you know, vibration is vibration and it's always going to match.
Yeah.
You know, and what really, what's the difference between someone who has one negative experience after another versus someone else who has one positive experience following another? Their vibrations are different.
Very true.
They're very different, you
very
know.
True.
And I have known for many, many, many years that I wanted to get underground. I wanted to get what was underneath the stuff that was causing the behaviors that I was doing to constantly net negative results. And I recognized it wasn't the behaviors after all.
Mm.
It was the vibrational stuff. It was the thoughts. It was the thoughts I didn't even know were running my life.
Which is exactly what the next section of the chapter talks about, by the way. I mean,
then
literally,
let's go there.
Literally, it says, by staying focused on a subject of your choosing, your point of attraction on that topic will become much more powerful than if your mind moves from subject to subject. There is tremendous power in focusing. As you make deliberate choices about the thoughts you think, the things you do, and even the people you spend time with, you will feel the benefit of the law of attraction. When you spend time with others who appreciate you, it stimulates your own thoughts of appreciation. When you spend time with those who see your flaws, then their perception of your flaws often becomes your point of attraction. This is exactly what we've been talking about. I mean, practically word for word. Finishing the subsection, it says, as you come to realize that whatever you are giving your attention to is getting larger, because the law of attraction says that it must, you may become more particular about those things that you give your initial attention to. It is much easier to change the direction of your thoughts in the early stages of the thought before the thought has gathered much momentum. But it is possible to change the direction of your thought at any time. And that's really what we're talking about in those discussion groups. People, you know, you're talking about the vibration. The vibration is set off by their chain of thoughts. And regardless of whether they are in the early stages or later stages, we're talking about helping them change their thought patterns so they can change their vibration.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll also say, because I certainly don't want to come across that like I'm a know-it-all and I'm the only one who has the answer. Because sometimes when I'm reading Facebook, I'll be reading the original post and the person is in such turmoil.
Oh yeah.
And I can just feel the pain that the person is going through. And I recognize that the answers that I would have for them is not what they need to hear right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not ready for it. And they do much better with people just being loving and kind and
giving
saying,
the
hang
hugs,
in there.
Yeah.
This too shall pass, and you know, do your best to try to look at something that will make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with that. There are times and places for every different type of prescription, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so, I will say that this Facebook group that you and I are both talking about, I'm pleasantly surprised at how many people post response when somebody reaches out for help.
Oh, it's a very active group and very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
In a huge, huge way. No doubt about that. It's really, it's very good. There are a lot of good things to say about this group, and we probably don't say enough of them, but it is a group where you can feel safe talking about a subject that is in many areas of society considered a little taboo. It's an area mm-hmm. where you can get advice. You'll get a wide range of advice. You got to be ready for that.
Right.
But you can get
right.
advice on almost anything that you want to get advice on when it comes to trying to apply LOA. And you can get support. You can get ideas. You can share wins. I mean, I can't remember what it was. Somebody, I think, announced that they'd gotten a job they'd been going after for a long time. They had like 300 likes on it because people were so
wow.
supportive of the fact, wow, they got their job. That's fantastic. You know, so
it's cool.
In that sense, it's a really, really great group. And I know for myself, the time that I spend in it, I'm actually a little bit selective about which ones I decide to respond to. You know, I'll click a like if I see somebody who got a job or something like that. Or, you know, I see somebody who had a success or a win of some kind. But most often, the ones that I respond to, and it always turns out it's the one that pops to the top of the list, showing just how good Facebook is at this and how much it ties into LOA. But it's always the one at the top of the list where the person has asked a particular question and they've asked it in such a way that I'm hearing exactly that question. I'm not actually hearing, well, I do hear it, but I'm not paying attention to the circumstances that's surrounding them. I'm hearing their specific question, and I try to find a way to answer that specific question. That for mm-hmm. me is interesting, and I've gotten some really nice responses out of that too, people appreciating it. So, I mean, there are so many ways that a person can participate in a group like this. I mean, we have our own two ways to do it, but there are so many ways, and that's what makes it great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of participation, there is another form of participation we keep trying to encourage our listeners to do, and that is the subscribe and share participation. I want to take a moment to mention that. For those who haven't subscribed, I think most of our listeners have subscribed, but we are getting new people every day checking out the podcast, listening to a podcast, finding they like it, and not all of them necessarily take the time to subscribe. Well, we want you to. And we want to let you know that subscribing actually pays off, because we're finding that the average person regardless of whether they subscribe, and most of them do, end up listening to over 30 podcasts a month. So subscribing, that's a really easy way to make sure they're all right there on your phone whenever you're ready to play them. Subscribing is simple. You just go to loatoday.net, click the link, says subscribe here. That takes care of subscribing for most people. Certainly if you have an iPhone, it's really easy. You just follow the steps. And if you have an Android phone, just get a podcast management software from the Play Store as an app to use, and then you can subscribe using that. And we have all the instructions now detailed on the page, so you can look for it there. And then once you subscribe, share with friends, because that's how other people are finding out about it. Until people know about the show, they can't say, wow, I love it. And when people do know about the show, they say, I love it. So it's a win-win. You're going to actually get friends who say, thank you very much for sharing. So please subscribe and share. And one last thought, too. We want to remind you Tuesday nights are the nights when Tom Wells and I get together at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that includes tonight. We're doing this on a Tuesday. 9 p.m. tonight, we're going to take live calls. We take live calls at any show, but particularly we're doing it Tuesday nights because we know people have to work during the day and they can't always get to a phone during the day. Well, you can get to a phone at 9 p.m. Eastern time on a Tuesday night. So take advantage. Give us a call tonight.
And a reminder, there are really easy instructions to call in on loatoday.net.
Yeah, they're all right there. Everything's there. You can't miss it. How to subscribe, how to share, how to call in. It's all right there on the homepage. We make it about as simple as you can possibly make it.
You got it.
Yeah. It's good stuff. We have like 8 minutes left. I'm not sure if it's a time to get into the next section because that would probably take us a lot more than 8 minutes to discuss. So I'm not sure. What do you think we should do at this point? Should we?
Well, I don't know because this next sentence says, can I instantly reverse my creative momentum? Even if we repeat it tomorrow, I want to go on.
All right, well then let's do it. You want to start reading it or shall I?
Yeah, so I'll read Jerry's part. Okay. Jerry asked this question. He says, let's say there are those who already have something going on from their previous thoughts, and now they decide they want to suddenly change the direction of their creation. Isn't there a momentum factor? Don't they have to first slow down what's already in the process of being created? Or can they instantly create a different, or can they instantly create in a different direction?
Am I reading Abraham now?
You can.
Okay.
I don't know that we need to read all of it. Let's just read part of it. Because have you ever had that question before?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I certainly have. And I think that to me has been like the precursor of where I am now. It's like in the beginning, I knew what stuff was going on in my life that I didn't like. And I'm like, well, how the hell do I change it? Because I want something different. And so I don't think I knew the specific answer to this question right away, but I kept trying to change the really difficult things that I had so much resistance on, because I think that's how most people enter their understanding of law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe this is where we'll cap it off. In other words, like, I'd love to just talk about this for a little bit longer. I think most people who come into law of attraction, whether they believe it or not, want to believe it because they want to change some stuff in their life that they're not happy with.
Sure.
Because I think that's how I came in. I had some stuff I desperately wanted to change. And so it's like, how quickly can I learn whatever I need to learn in order to make these things go away? And, you know, they kept getting these things in my life that I wanted to go away, kept getting bigger, even while I was learning law of attraction. And I didn't understand that either, but I was desperate.
Yeah.
And I just kept learning until I finally learned, oh, well, I didn't like the answer, but Abraham kept saying, don't work on your biggest, baddest, most difficult thing you're most resistant over. Work on something small. And I couldn't do it. I'm like, but nothing small matters to me. I have to work on the big stuff.
That is a drag.
I know. I mean, what about you and your experience?
Oh,
what do you think about that?
For me, it was early on trying to understand how this whole – well, first of all, it was understanding what the resistance part was. I didn't even know that part at first. But once – the idea of resistance got explained to me, and I studied it for the first time. I don't even remember which book it was that I read it in. But once I learned that resistance was a part of the equation, then the next question in my mind was, well, how long does it take to overcome the resistance? And part of the answer to that question is the momentum factor. And it makes sense. I mean, if you've got a whole bunch of resistance in place, even if you don't know where it's coming from, even if you don't know how you're creating it, if you know that it's there and you aren't really sure how long it's going to take to release it, then there's going to be a momentum factor. You know there is. You can just tell there is because you keep focusing on the stuff that you don't like without even realizing it sometimes. And part of the exercise early on is trying to learn how to notice that you're focusing on the stuff that you don't want. And then as you start to get better in that, noticing how often it happens in your life and you're realizing, oh my God, there's a whole lot here I have to try to monitor. And then learning about how to use emotion instead and like, oh, well, that's a whole lot easier than trying to monitor every single thought. And you're taking all the steps, here's what I'm saying. You're taking all these learning steps of trying to understand how to apply this stuff. And as you're doing that, you're realizing that the momentum factor is really all about how long does it take me to overcome my own resistance? How long does it take me to release it and get it out of the way? That's what the momentum thing is really all about. So did I think that was an important factor? Yes. In fact, to this day, I'm still trying to learn it. I'm still trying to learn all the different ways to release my resistances because I've released a lot, but not all of them.
I will tell you, the word momentum did not even show up in conversations with Abraham until a couple years ago.
Well, so, okay. I'm a little surprised at that, but I can't say. Well, the word momentum has a specific meaning in the world of physics, and this momentum is a little bit different from that one. But I can't say I was surprised the first time I heard it because, of course, if you've got resistance, it's going to slow things down. That's what resistance does. Mm-hmm. If it's slowing things down, what you're really saying is it's not showing up fast enough. So, of course, there's a momentum involved.
And I've only been following Abraham for, I think, 10 years, but they've been saying and teaching for 30 years. And I know that over time, they start to use different metaphors. And as workshop participants ask deeper questions, they're able to give deeper answers. And that, too, also has momentum because from workshop to workshop, they build upon certain themes. And I don't know why I say I'm going to take pride in this, but I kind of do. I was at the San Antonio, Texas workshop maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, about 3 years ago. And it was the first time they ever used the word receiving mode or using the word receiving because they said, we've never said this before. And I noticed that then they started using the word receiving over and over and over. And that has become like one of their main words. You know, it's like if you want the vortex, all the goodies in your vortex to open up to you, you need to be in a receiving mode to receive them. And so, I don't know, I just kind of take special pride that I was there the day that I was part of the energy that helped to bring forth that word, receptivity mode, being in the receptivity mode. And then maybe a year and a half later when I went to the Cancun Land Cruise, there were these huge banners in the foyer area or like the main just beautiful atrium area. And, you know, one of the banners said receptivity mode. And I'm like, I was part of that. That's so cool to me. But the reason I bring that up is that based on what our, and I mean all of us on the leading edge, our askings, our thoughts, our the vibrations of where we're taking our own personal thinking to, is what gets said in these Abraham workshops, and it's how I've watched us expand. And so, like, the word momentum that is now used quite frequently, that has shifted my awareness of how to use law of attraction in a huge way, where when I first started learning law of attraction 10 years ago, that word wasn't on the table.
Well, we're going to have to postpone the reversing momentum because we are literally completely out of time. So we'll just leave it at that and say, Wendy, it's been a pleasure. Let's do it again tomorrow.
All righty.
And I'll be here as well. Hope you're here as well, too, here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye now.